the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 441790. You can send a WhatsApp to 253-4679 or an email to cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought in association with our good friends at ESFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it down, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, we begin with some very sad news: the passing of Sam Wilkinson, the veteran sportscaster. In fact, only last night when we were doing the radio commentaries, his son Barry asked, Barry, how's your dad? He said he was hanging on in there. But the reality is that he actually passed away today. And we here at Mason & Guests, we offer our sympathies to the Wilkinson family. In fact, without any further ado, let's go to speak to Mr. Mark Seal, who would obviously know Sam Wilkinson very well. He spent a long time up at CBC. And here's Mark Seal with his tribute. Good evening to you, Mark. Mark? Trying to see if we can get Mark Seal on the line.
Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening to you. Okay, we got you loud and clear. Yes, you can go ahead with your tribute, Mark.
Thank you very much. I'd like to echo your sentiments as well. Tributes to the Wilkinson family. I've actually been on quite a few cricket chats where different age groups, second division, over 40s, over 50s, and they're all sending their tributes to Sam Wilkinson. You know, everyone called him Sam. You know, it's in there, Samuel Wilkinson. You know, Sam was Sam. I met Sam when I first came to CBC. Indeed, of course, he was at CBC a long time before I would have met him. He was at CBC in the late 80s, he would have been the director of sports. Even before then, he was contributing to the various radio sportscasts with his sports reporting, etc. He had a very unique voice. Mm-hmm. We always hear in this field, you know, you must be a ham, you must have theatrics. And in radio, Sam had this very unique voice. Once you heard it, you knew that was Sam, and for the older generation, you knew that was 7-Up Sam, mm-hmm. or Sporting Sam. I mean, that was Sam. And, of course, at the CBC, not only he was the head of sports, but, of course, he was also the marketing manager. And I understand from Legacy that even when he was the marketing manager, he would still be contributing to the sports desk. You know, so although he'd be wearing two hats, where he'll be looking to sell programming for the corporation, but he still found time to give input to our sports programming. Even after he left the CBC, you would recall that, you know, he had Sam on Sports. That was still a radio program. And then on television, he was the co-host of the television program Cover Point. That was specifically on cricket, while Sam on Sports would have been on all sports. Of course, whilst he was at the Barbados Olympic Association as the PRO, Sam was always available. He would always say, well, you know, young Seal, anytime you need me, I'm available. And indeed, we needed Sam. Football commentary, cricket commentary, basketball, boxing, you know, anything. And once you needed Sam, he was there quite willing. If I, even if you didn't think about it, he would let you know, hey, you know, you may already have your commentators, but just reminding you, if you need me, I'm there. And that was Sam. I remember playing cricket against Sam personally when I was at the law school. Mm-hmm. And one thing about Sam, his sense of humor was, he had this dry sense of humor, sarcasm. I remember as a batting low down in the order, and I was counting the players he was playing for Central, And I remember counting the players, and by the time I got around to where Sam was, he was counting with me. Yes, Seal, 7, 8, 9, you know, and, you know, we laughed. And although he would, you know, usual Saturday culture for cricket, give you a lot of pressure, he would get you out with his off spin, coming from very high with his tall structure. But even before the end of the game, during the water breaks, at the tea breaks, etc., he would always come and tell you, well, okay, I got you out, but you could have played this shot better, and you could have done this with this ball. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was Sam. Although he was an adversary on the field, he was still your friend. Mm-hmm. And that is the Sam Wilkinson that I remember. Like you, I was listening to your tribute. I was talking to Barry. As you know, I would have seen Barry quite recently in the CBC corridors late at night with the ICC cricket that is going on. And like you, you know, he was saying, oh, Marco, you know, Sam is he's getting better, and he's mm-hmm. coming home. It really hurt when I heard today that he passed, that he didn't get out of QEH. Sent my condolences to Barry. Also like to send my condolences to his sister Samantha and to Sam's wife. I'm wearing a lot of hats here on behalf of the board, management and staff of the CBC, members of the Wharton Cricket Club. It's a sad day. And, you know, Andrew, recently CBC lost two other former workers, very recently, last mm-hmm. month or so, we lost two. Sam is no number three. It's just happening too often, Andrew. It's happening too often. This is a sad day. It's hurting. And this is a sad day for sports and sports journalism in Barbados.
It is. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for your tribute. And I know you were very, very close to Sam. In fact, you would have worked with him for quite a long time. So thanks for your contribution.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Right. So there you have it. Mark Seal, who for a long time was the director of sports, and now he's the overall director of news, and he would have spent a long time with Sam Wilkinson. We're going to certainly contribute and continue to do our tributes a little bit later on the show. And I know that Don Topley, who is in Guyana now, he's never met Sam, but he would have worked with certainly Barry Wilkinson. Only actually last night, I think, you were working with Barry Wilkinson. I know you want to pay your tribute and also look at what is possible in terms of the India-England game. Don? We got to hear you. I'm just turn on.
Sorry, it's a very sad evening for you and your colleagues for the loss of, 7-Up Sam, he's been described. What a cracking name that is. Mm-hmm. But clearly the apple has not fallen far from the tree, because Sam was an undoubted fine broadcaster, fine character, and, Barry, Judy, and Samantha will be devastated by this loss, but I think I'd like to extend my condolences to Barry. But listen, the apple didn't fall far from the tree, because Barry himself is a very creditable broadcaster. He brings the game to life with his enthusiasm, and that's probably a great testimony to his father, because, you know, his father was that kind of a character. I think you said he'd mm-hmm. been in journalism, in the broadcasting industry, for 30 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you do that kind of thing, he must be a remarkable man. So I also would like to pay tribute. And indeed, Barbados has lost probably a very good friend this evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he would have been in broadcasting. Might have done the show for about 30, but overall, certainly for about 50 years or so, Sam Wilkinson very much involved in broadcast. I know you've got to go pretty soon, Don. You've got a big, big function coming up. So we're going to come back to you very, very soon. But let's go to Ruskin Mark. Of course, this program is very regional. Ruskin is a noted journalist in Trinidad and Tobago. And he's going to be wearing two hats, giving a tribute to Sam. I'm sure he knows him well. And then he'll also be telling us about, because as you know, tomorrow, Afghanistan will be playing against South Africa. Ruskin? Ruskin? Are you hearing us, Ruskin? Okay. seems as if he's got a log out and log walk in. Doc, can you help him there? Ruskin?
As usual, it's on the top right-hand corner, but he is shaking. He doesn't seem to be muted, so I'm not sure. If his audio isn't working, he may have to log out and log back in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Ruskin, you better do that and certainly come back to us, or what we will try and do is to maybe give you a call. Well, I know that my good friend, Philo Wallace, will want to offer his tributes. Philo?
Andrew, good evening. Good evening to your panel. Good evening to your listeners, Andrew. Obviously, my friend Sheryl Hart and Heaven Carlos. Bad Andrew, because Al Wilkinson was an iconic figure within the sports industry. I can remember as a little boy, you used to hear Sam Wilkinson on mornings giving a roundup on various sports. And I can remember when I got into it to commentating, Sam would come over and he would say, you know, young man, you have to use this type of language and explain it this way. You always add advice. And he would lend that advice to you for you to become better. And I just want to offer my condolences to Barry. I know Barry would have stamped hard dearly by going into the academic field of looking out to go to law school and become a lawyer. And that would have pleased Sam. I just want to offer my condolences to Barry and his sister and his mom, Judy, and the entire Wilkinson family and all his friends. And those guys at Central as well, who he played many years with, they would also feel the loss of Sam. He was a precious man. I just want to offer my deepest condolences from my family, and I hope that, you know, he rests in peace. And we don't ever forget Sam Wilkinson, the Savage man.
All right. Thank you very much, Philo. And Dr. Ford, your tribute.
Hi. Well, good night to the listeners and the panel. Condolences to Barry and his family, all of Sam's friends, and all of his fans, and to all Commemorians up and on. I would have been fortunate when I was a youngster to listen to Sam on the radio, and, you know, I always had a love for sports, and, you know, it was always a pleasure to listen to Sam, and I did see him at the supermarket a few months ago, and he looked great, so it came as a shock to me that he was ill and he's passed. And, you know, as I said, I offer condolences to his family, and may he rest in peace.
Thank you very much, Doc. Let's try and get Ruskin Mark on the telephone now. Hello, Ruskin.
Hi, good evening to you. How are you?
Okay, I'm okay. Well, we were able to get you, not by Zoom, but by the old-time way, by the old good old telephone.
Right. Yeah, I was seeing you, but you were hearing me. I wasn't hearing anything, but I was seeing you.
Right, fair enough. Okay, your tribute to Sam, and then, of course, we want to get into the business of the game tomorrow.
Thanks. Well, let me first of all send out my condolences to the Wilkinson family, Barry in particular, and, of course, the rest of his family, and to all of Barbados, because I know that this had to be a sad day for a lot of people. And as you would have heard there from the doc, it probably came as a shock to many, including myself. Mm-hmm. And Sam was somebody who was very sort of jovial, but serious about his work. But he made the work fun. And I think that is what endeared a lot of people to him, because it was so easy to work with him or to even see him do his work. It was a joy to watch him operate. And I think a lot of us at the time, who would have been younger than him, actually felt encouraged and, you know, because he was always willing to lend a hand and to assist you wherever possible. So to his entire family, mm-hmm. and again to the entire Bayesian public and the entire cricketing public, or really the sporting community, because he touched many lives in different sporting disciplines. And I really want to send condolences on behalf of me and my family, and of course, mm-hmm. all of Trinidad and Tobago to all of Barbados.
Indeed. Well, thanks for that. We'll certainly get one or two more tributes a little bit later on. But just before you go, Ruskin, first of all, how's the weather? You got a big game coming up tomorrow, Afghanistan versus South Africa. How's the weather?
Well, let's put it this way, Andrew. You take it as you get it, because it's nice and warm today. We had one heavy shower, but that didn't last very long, and I suppose didn't do much by way of changing anything. So I think the players are keeping their fingers crossed. The anticipation is we can have another good crowd on hand. The wicket again is, it is what it is, so to speak. I don't think it could change its complexion now. So we anticipate that it's still going to be a tall scoring venue. So we anticipate a lot of runs in that one. Although I must admit this tournament has allowed bowlers to flourish more than probably some of the other tournaments mm-hmm. that we've seen over the years, and which is not a bad thing, because the first half of the tournament, you could say the bowlers dominated. Now the batters are beginning to kind of get into their own. So hopefully we might see, we saw 200 recently, so we might start to see scores in excess of 160, 180. And then bowlers are really going to have to earn their stripes now by limiting teams or bowling out teams under those totals.
Now, what's the reaction to the West Indies loss? I mean, obviously here in Barbados, and I know throughout the Caribbean, it's been pretty tough. Tell us about Trinidad. I mean, when West Indies played in Trinidad, tremendous support. What are they saying now with the loss?
Well, again, I think really and truly, a lot of people are disappointed. I think that's an understatement. They really felt that the team was coming together, doing the right things. Unfortunately, they didn't play well against England. Mm. And that put them under pressure. And then, so where he came up short against England was really only magnified in the last game. And it kind of showed itself there. The pressure started to tell on the players. But there are a lot of questions. I'm sure a lot of people will analyze batting lineups, bowling choices, whatever. At the end of the day, the West Indies team is short of quality spinners. And I suppose that's why so many people were clamoring for Narayan to come back and give it one last chance. And he probably would have made a big difference, especially on the bowler-friendly surfaces that we've seen in this tournament. He probably would have really relished bowling under these conditions. But that is, as they say, water under the bridge. You have to go with what you have. And it shows that we do not have real quality spinners. Because if you look at the spinners who are taking wickets in the tournament, and when I say taking wickets, not one or two a game, but three and four, are players who are tried and tested, who have really honed their skills over the years, and you see the quality. We just don't have that. We have good bowlers, but we do not have that caliber of spinner, especially wrist spinners. We can't find quality wrist spinners anywhere right now who could really come and see, we could put them in and attack with them and take three or four wickets. And you can do that every game, and you're almost certain that's the result, that's the outcome you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Right now, we don't have that. So we rely on what we have, similar to Australia. Because if you look at Australia, everybody else are kind of going sprint-friendly. The Aussies, they kept their normal pace attack. They live by it, they die by it. And it's the same thing for the West Indies.
Okay, final question. I know you had some challenges with the park and ride. I hope that problem will be solved. I understand that it was absolutely horrendous when you had about 15,000 people or so. A couple of my friends told me they got home at, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Has that problem been solved? And do you expect a big crowd for the game tomorrow night?
Andrew, ask your friends if they stayed for the party. I think they stayed on to party after the game, That might have been the excuse they gave to their wives.
Yes. And husbands.
Yes, terrible traffic,
Yeah.
But the reality is, after the West Indies victory, guys were having a pretty good time.
Right.
And it's a similar thing. You know, when we first started to go to what is now the Darren Sammy Stadium, the location of the venue, it presents challenges to get in and out of it. Because the one in Bosaju, it kind of empties out onto a main road, and so unless that is managed properly, it takes you a while to get in and out of that. It's the same thing at the Brian Lara Cricket Academy.
Okay.
Now, there's good parking at the Brian Lara Academy, but you have to manage it properly, and you have to I basically tell people, go early, try to get there at least 2 hours before the game, because it's that much of a challenge trying to get in there, because it takes a while to get into and get out. When you try to get out, and everybody's trying to get out, you know, everybody in Trinidad owns a car, so nobody wants to go with their neighbor. Everybody wants to drive in, and they want to park in front the gate, you know. So those are the challenges. So now with the parking, and I think what they've done, they've added a couple more car parks so more people can access the park and ride. I think they've put up proper barriers so that people will have to follow like turnstiles. So you have to go through the turnstile to get to the buses that will transport you. It's not a long ride. It's actually very close. Mm-hmm. And so I think once that part of it is managed properly and people understand this is the bus you're supposed to go on to get to this car park, and not go to the wrong car park and then have to find a shuttle. Mm. You know, once people understand those things and those logistical problems are worked out, I think they'll be fine.
Quickly, do you think a big crowd will turn up tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think so. I think people have basically committed to the semifinals. And after all, it's two big teams, South Africa. They have good following in Trinidad. I think the Afghans are going to find that... you know, they have a lot of fans in Trinidad and Tobago, and of course with Bravo helping them.
That would make a difference, yeah.
They will come to see him and to see what this team is all about, and I think they've really done very well. I'm proud of them, and I'm looking forward to them even reaching the final.
All right. Thanks to Ruskin Mark there in Trinidad and Tobago. Let's quickly go to Don Topley. Don, I know you've got a big, big, big function coming up. Tell us, first of all, what's the weather like there in Guyana? Is it raining, Don?
Well, we flew from Barbados, 1 hour, 20 minutes, and I have to say we've had a shower, but it's quite miserable. It reminds me of Manchester. It's very grey, very grim at the moment, but the temperature is still 29-30, so that's very pleasant. But it looks grey. It's really grey. I hope we're going to see some sunshine tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Now, you arrived, when did you arrive again, you said? Was it today you arrived?
I arrived this morning. It was 9 o'clock, so we probably exited the plane about 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing for me. I've never been to South America, so we flew in and I could see forests, and then I could see what I call wide-ish rivers that were silt laden. They were moving quite slow, and we are situated right on the corner of the river, or the Demerara River.
Yes,
that must be something to do with sugar. Mm-hmm. The Demerara River, and where Georgetown meets the Atlantic Ocean. Mm-hmm. I like my geography, so I've been studying it.
Mm-hmm, indeed, I understand you're staying in some posh suites as well. That's what I've been told. Is that true?
Yes, very nice. Yeah, very nice indeed. It's I'm quite high up, so I get a good view of downtown Georgetown.
Okay.
And then I've got the ocean on the other side.
Mm-hmm. So you say you're quite high up, so I suppose you're staying in a suite, huh?
We are indeed. I have a very plush. I could, you know, my other half hasn't travelled,
right.
But I'm treated tonight to a little bit of quality.
Indeed. And I understand you're the only English travelling, apparently, on that plane or something like that.
There aren't many down here. There aren't even many journalists down here. I think it's quite a difficult place to get to.
Yes.
But not only difficult place to get to, don't forget, there could be England or India travelling back to Barbados. And I think India has quite a lot of their families out here. So there is a shortage of perhaps flights to get back to Barbados, because the final is only on Saturday.
Yeah.
So we've got Wednesday night in Trinidad. We've got basically Thursday morning here in Guyana. And then both the two winning sides have got to get across to Barbados. Of course, that's due north. So, you know, there's a bit of pressure on time. And what we don't want is rain to interrupt the games. Not at all. Please, we pray for some dry weather.
Yeah, because you were making the point that the Afghan game could go into another day. But you were also saying to me that the India-England game will not, because they start at 10:30. Explain that.
Yeah, the ICC have allocated some extra time. I think that's the most common way I could describe it, a bit like football. You've been given extra time. So South Africa and Afghanistan, if they have serious rain, which interrupts and prevents them playing, they then can play the following day.
Okay.
I'm going to guess it's about 230 minutes that is allocated to extra time. Now, obviously, we play 10 o'clock in the morning, so the problem with England and India is...
Okay.
Additional time in order to play their game in Guyana. So it's not like for like, although they're trying to. The problem is the game between South Africa and Afghanistan is played in the evening, and you can't ask the players to play continually into 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, maybe 3 o'clock in the morning. And obviously, without stating the obvious, that's possibly not the best time for Indian television.
So
it's not like for like. It is quite extraordinary. One or two people have raised their eyebrows at these rules and regulations, but they both get about 2 to 3 hours additional time to play their fixture should it rain.
Okay, just before we go to the break, quickly, anybody wants to ask a question to Don before we go to the break? Philo, I see you shaking your head.
Yeah, because I'm listening to Don explaining this thing, and Don, it is irrational. Because Afghanistan versus South Africa is going to play on Wednesday.
Right.
And they have the extra day on Thursday. England versus India is going to play on Friday, and they have a 2.5 hour extra time on the same Friday. It's not logical. It's not right. And the thing is that we have people like Cricket West Indies and maybe USA Cricket who sat with ICC. They could have shifted that finals from a Saturday to Sunday to accommodate the equality in days. Because everything now is compact. And there was massive complaint about playing, traveling, and playing. Mm-hmm. And we know the flight situation, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to ask you, what is the mood like in the England camp? Have they got any time to get any practice?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow, they've got an allocation of time tomorrow to practice, of which they're all going to do. And I think everyone's fit and firing. So they'll be selecting from their full complement. Will they stay with the same side? I don't know. But I expect it to be a really highly intensive practice, because everyone's vying for a position. So, you know, no one wants to miss out on a World Cup semi-final. I think England will have to read the wicket carefully. They really will. You know, will they want an extra batsman? Will they want to play a spinner? We do have an extra spinner in the squad. Will it be a used wicket? Will it be a dry surface? So there are lots of questions there for England. I expect them to really take a good look at the pitch tomorrow, and then again on Thursday morning.
I see. Well, Don, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. I know you've got to go off to that big, I don't know what it is, but I'm told that all the big ups from Ghana will be there.
Shall I tell you?
Yes.
Shall I tell you?
Sure, yes.
It's an event. My son is taking me out to dinner. That is an event, because it doesn't happen often.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we'll see you in Barbados, where we may have an England-South Africa final, possibly. Don?
Oh, I think I'm going to go for that. I like you when you said that. I think it would be a massive occasion to have England and South Africa. I think that really would be a very good game. Two fine teams that have so much quality in their ranks.
Thank you very much indeed, Don. Let's pause for business calls. Mason and Guest brought in association with the good friends at ACF. We run the best shot of the day.
ESAP, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want. ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, it's heading up to 6:45. Of course, we're going to do one or two more tributes to Sam Wilkinson a little bit later on in the show. But of course, we want to look at the World Cup. The West Indies team not doing well at all. Tremendous disappointment. But just before I do that, it's my understanding that Leeds selected Desmond Haynes may be replaced after his contract ends on June the 30th. A review was done and recommendations were made. And listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I spoke to the director of cricket, Mr. Miles Bascom. And I called him this afternoon and he said recommendations have been made. But I'm told that Desmond Haynes, the lead selector, maybe, and I'm choosing my words very carefully, may be replaced. Roland, have you heard anything about that? Because you should know, having been replaced recently. Have they said anything to you, Roland?
Andrew, good evening to you and all your listeners. First of all, let me say sincere condolences to Barry and his family on the passing of his father, Sam, a wonderful man, who greatly loved not just by his family, but by all sports persons. In Barbados, he'll be greatly missed. And, you know, really, Barry, you know, we feel so sad along with you at this time. Andrew, the question you've asked me, I don't know why you've asked me that when you've got so many other people on your panel that you can ask. I have heard nothing of.
Well, I would have thought you would be the most appropriate, though, wouldn't you be? Having been released?
Well, why would I be appropriate? No, you. Anyway, this is information that I have not heard. But so, as you know, your little birdie has told you.
So, Roland, are you saying to me that you have not heard that for the last 2 or 3 days? Nobody said anything to you, Roland?
Well, I am saying that I have not heard anything official from anybody in relation to that.
But I don't expect you to. That's not the question I asked you.
No,
the official release will come later. Have you heard anything unofficially then that there's
I have not I have heard you mentioning this thing a couple of days ago.
Yes.
But until there's something official, I guess, well, you have gone one step further and had a discussion with the director of cricket.
Yes, I did speak to him this afternoon about it.
I guess you can glean whatever got from that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But when that becomes, if it becomes a public issue, then it will be ventilated. But right now, I know very little about it.
Mm-hmm. So how did they release you? Did they send you what did they do? I'm trying to get the protocols here, Roland. What did they do?
We spoke about this before, and I have voiced my displeasure at the way things was done, but listen, I have moved on, and you know, I don't sit around and wait and cry over spoilt milk, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
I am up. I'm a forceful guy who gets up and gets up. Mm-hmm. I've been here for a long time. I've had some good times and bad times. I've had some injuries, and I've had to get up and go again. This is no different. So
yes,
I was very disappointed when it happened,
mm-hmm.
and so I should have been, because I don't think it was warranted. But that's the way life is sometimes, and you just get on with it.
Mm. Yeah,
but done just that.
Right. Okay. Well, let's of course give Desmond Haynes his due, the most honorable. In fact, I actually called him today. I got his number. I haven't spoken to Desi since 1990 because I thought it was a responsibility. I haven't heard that. And I did, in fact, call him. Was actually shocked.
And do you think
he was actually shocked by the call?
24 years has elapsed. Do you think he would pick the phone up now?
No, I did call him because I got his number, and I did call him. And when he heard me, he was shocked, really, that I did. He did hear me. He didn't say anything at all. I said, "Hi, this is your good friend Andrew Mason," and there was silence. But that's what I've heard. Philo, have you heard anything at all? You tend to hear these things. I'm sure little birdie was spoken to you.
Yes, Andrew, I heard some, a little some murmuring about Dr. Mozart Arnold Desmond Hayes maybe replaced as lead selector. I've been asking when the selection panels will be looked at, and if they're going to be the same selection panels in relation to numbers. There's no junior selection panel because CWI is claiming that there's no real or the 19 World Tournament coming up. So it's just the women's selection panel and that male selection panel, which is headed by Desmond Haynes and Brown from Trinidad. So, yes, I've been hearing word to that. We haven't heard anything about the women's selection panel. If that lead selector will be replaced as well. So I don't even know how they do it now, Andrew, in relation to getting selectors. I don't know how Roland was appointed. We never knew that. So, I don't know how they do it. I don't know if they go have a secret ballot and ask people to come and do it. Because once upon a time, the courts have to recommend people. But I don't know how they do it. There isn't even an ad that was put in the papers or even on the website for people to submit CVs and stuff like that. So I don't know how they're going to do it. Mars Bascom is the man who's in charge now, and he will have to be the one to go through all the applications, however they do it, and then make the recommendation to the board. I also want to say congratulations to Enoch Lewis, who has been reappointed as the president of the Leeward Islands Cricket Board, and also to Jeremiah Louis. There's a point around that he's replacing Kemar Roach, who's out injured. Mm-hmm. I got that information some days ago on CWA. I've not even sent out anything yet.
Philo, you're correct. That's the next thing I was going to say, because I heard that as well. And if that's the case, clearly, there should be some release from Cricket West. I'll try and see if I can get Mr. Johnny Grave on the show this evening, because I did hear that as well. Did you hear that too, Mr. Butcher? You tend to hear things.
No, I haven't, Andrew. I haven't spoken to you for the day, so I wouldn't get that information. But what I would say is I would just like to, Philo said there was one thing he wasn't sure of in relation to the selections of selectors. What I would say to Philo, I would tell Philo in my case, how I became a selector. I was not elected by anyone as someone who, is a friend or whatever. The job of selector was advertised all around the world. Everybody applied for the position. There's certain things that had to be done. Obviously, then there was a shortlist. Then interviews, final interviews, and at the end of the process, the person who was deemed the best candidate got the position, which was myself. So that is how I was became a selector. I know, as you said in the past, it has been a case that Philo is my friend, so I want him as selector. I'm gonna have him. I can tell you, and I'll tell the rest of the Caribbean. I became a selector by going through the same process that any big business goes through HR and etc. And being finally interviewed and shortlisted, and then being the number one candidate.
Dr. Ford, you're hearing all this. Any reaction, Doctor?
Well, the speculation is rife, and I think it's appropriate to say that the Honorable Desmond Haynes did a reasonable job as selector. His teams were quite good teams, and the job is a temporary one. We've had other individuals in charge of selections, and it will keep, the changes will continue. I also heard that the method of selection will change as well, but I guess we'll have to see that. But your mention of that and Jeremiah Louis just continues the theme that we've had, that thread of communication and this secrecy or ill timing of information, which has to be kept close to the chest when it's really unnecessary. I think that it will be much more prudent to get ahead of stories and not let Andrew be told by these little birdies every few months of various things that are going to happen. I think that any good HR team would want to eclipse the birdies that get to Andrew. But, you know, if people understand what's happening, it prevents this speculation and all this conjecture. But, you know, we'll await the official word, as Roland said, but the wheels turn slowly, as they often do.
Indeed. Okay, just before you come in, George, I know that you would have the information because it would have said something too. We've got a very special guest who's just going to come on the line now, Mr. Noah Lynch. Of course, he is a former Minister of Tourism, but in his capacity as the chairman of the local organizing committee here in Barbados for World Cup. And he called me just now and he said he wants to say something. Hello to you, Mr. Lynch. How are you?
Good evening, Andrew.
Good evening. I'm good. How are you?
I am fine. Good evening to you and everyone else that's with you.
Yes. Good. You got Phil O'Wallace that you know well. You got George Ferris that you would have played against. You got Dr. Ford and your good friend Roland Butcher.
Good evening, all. Good evening, gentlemen.
Yes. All right. What do you have to share with us?
Andrew, you know, throughout this entire process, from the time we began, I've not had the opportunity to come on Mason and guest. And it was my intention to keep it that way until the end of the tournament. But this evening, I really called to pay my tributes to Sam Wilkinson.
Right.
Sam was a good man. You know, I had a number of encounters with Sam, even as a young athlete. And so, you know, in those days, he used to do the 7-Up Sam program. You remember that?
Yes, of course. And people were glued onto the radio.
Yes, and I remember Sam. And I remember Sam doing his thing, you know, an iconic voice that everyone knew. And Sam with his language, I remember that. So I just wanted to pay my tribute to Sam. That's why I really called. Mm-hmm. And to offer my condolences to Barry and the rest of the family. Mm-hmm. And say that this man contributed a lot to the development of sports in Barbados. And he's someone that we should, you know, we should really take our hats off to and join all of Barbados in celebrating at this time.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Well, I want to thank you very much, Noel, for coming. We hope that you are in a position to talk to us about the World Cup. Everything would have been finished. So we hope to have you on Mason and Guest next week.
But how much more time you got?
Okay, but we can certainly spend some time with you. The show
ends. You can spend a couple of minutes. I mean, a lot of people have asked me, and I wouldn't want to go away without saying just a couple of things.
Sure.
First of all, in terms of the organizing of the World Cup, which was everyone asked, a man even told me recently, Lynch, you are the face of the World Cup or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that. But I will tell you, I wanted to say a couple of things. First, whatever Barbados has gained from the preparations for the World Cup has been a team effort. And the National Organizing Committee has 50 representative agencies on it. And these are people who put this thing together from the Ministry of Public Works through to the Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Education, the Ministry of the Environment and Beautification, the BTMI, the BTII, the BCA, all these people sit on this committee. And this is hard work, not in terms of really brain taxing, creative work, mm-hmm. but just ensuring that we have a checklist of all the things that are needed to be done every day, reporting every week, and that these things fall into place. And I just want to take my hat off to all of the Barbados Police Service, the Defence Force and their people, the Ministry of Public Works, as I said, the Transport Authority to make sure that the park and ride works, the people that did all the work at Kensington Oval in terms of getting the stadium ready. There are so many Barbadians, like about 500 people, if I were to just put my hand on it, who worked tirelessly to ensure that a global event was produced in the best way, and I want to take my hats off to them. and to congratulate them for the outstanding job that they've done. Mm-hmm. I've met some towering professionals in both the public and the private sector, the BHTA, all these people, trying to get this stuff together, how many planes coming and people coming and blah, blah, blah. All these things, it has been a rather onerous task in terms of pulling all the moving parts together. But these people must be given the credit. I can't take credit for something that I haven't done. It's just a matter of coordinating. But these people have done a fantastic job. And then, like most Barbadians, and most West Indians, I must tell you, Andrew, that I was disappointed that the West Indies went out in the way in which they did.
Mm-hmm.
You know I'm a cricket lover. You know,
yes,
you,
of
you
course,
know,
of course.
I know a lot about cricket.
But yes.
When it was in Washington, outside of the scene, people kept on telling me that if the West Indies were going to win, if we were ever going to win a tournament, it was going to be this one.
Mm-hmm.
And how we were going to win it was, we were going to win it on the strength of our batting. Everybody told me, even when we did the first press conference that afternoon at LESC, everybody said, you know, the West Indies, if there's anything, any reason for us to win this tournament, we're going to win it on the strength of our batting. Andrew, if you can't make 150 runs in a T20 match,
mm-hmm.
you can't the probability of beating anybody except is me, you, and mm-hmm. and Dr. Florentine playing is remote.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed. If we had made, Andrew, 160 runs and we had gotten beaten, maybe 80 runs if we got them beaten, well, you get beat.
Mm.
But you can't make 130 runs, Andrew, in a T20 match and expect to beat anybody. All these people like Fellow and them that know more about cricket than I would ever know, and Roland Butcher, you have 51 dot balls, Andrew, there's only 120 balls mm-hmm. in the T20 match.
Yep.
If you work out the probability of being able to make runs with 51 dot balls, I hear this thing about boundary percentages and all this pretty talk. Andrew, I feel it's better to get out, try to get some runs than to get all these dot balls, but this is not test cricket. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm with you. No.
I don't know.
No. How does this impact you, though, in terms of, obviously, you have a situation where so many people would have expected people to come in with the West Indies, you know, possibly getting to the finals and winning it. How has this impacted the whole organization of the tournament?
I don't think that would have impacted us a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that like, I can be now the predictor now. I think the way the swan chart is going,
mm-hmm.
England goes up against India.
Yes.
Afghanistan against South Africa.
Right.
So I predict now, I'm wrong, but I'm going with, I want England.
Of course.
I want England. And South Africa here for the final. But I don't think that's going to play out. It looks like, on the form chart, it looks as if India and Afghanistan are going to make it here.
Mm.
That's what it's looking. I don't know what your guests think and what your folks think. What you think?
I think this should be the Afghanistan. I think so.
Oh, Afghanistan beat Australia.
Yeah, but the pitch was not the best, I must admit.
Well, I don't know. I think these Afghanis, you know.
They're pumped up, though. They're pumped up for it, huh? They're pumped up. In fact, George first, that you know very well, wants to respond. George?
Hey, good evening, Andrew. Good evening to the panelists. Good evening to your many listeners. First, let me say congratulations to my Afghan warriors for making it to the semifinals in the T20 Championship. Also, congratulations to my friend Fitzroy Simon in England. He's just retired, and I would wish him all the best. Regarding you writing off Afghanistan, Lynch.
No, I'm not writing off
Please remember.
How did you come to that conclusion?
Well, you know, everybody's saying it's going to be India or England or South Africa. I don't hear anybody mentioning Afghanistan.
Mm.
I'm just wondering, can South Africa cope with our spin quartet? We can handle theirs, but can they handle ours?
Mm.
Because if at all this pitch is any bit dry, South Africa will struggle to beat Afghanistan. We all guys are fired up, and we're ready to go. We want to take down big South Africa, and then we go into the final. All right? So I'm not writing Afghanistan off. They're my team. I've mentioned that from the beginning. I've always called them a legitimate threat in this tournament. And if South Africa don't play it well, they may get upset as well as Australia did.
So you're predicting...
Let us not write them off.
So you're predicting then Afghanistan to play India in the finals? Is that what you're saying, George?
Well, I don't want to make... I would like Afghanistan to play England.
England?
They'd have a better chance against England. Oh, yes. They'd have a better chance beating England than India. Because the Indians may cope better against their spin. But the English lads may not cope that well against the four spinners.
Right. Wonderful. Okay. Well, this is where your horse
is. So the best chance for Afghanistan is to get against England.
All right. We're going to pause for business cause when we come back. We're going to open the lines as well. Of course, Mason and Guest brought to an association with our very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, Doc, anything for Noah Lynch in terms of organization? Anything you want to ask him? Not hear you, Doc.
I'd like to speak to Noel about tickets. Some friends of mine have said that some finals tickets have become available. Can you explain to us how this happened? How this has happened, and what you expect as far as availability for finals tickets now? Because there was a time when they weren't any available. I've heard Greenwich and Haynes and maybe a few Mitchie Hewitt are available now.
Noel?
Yeah, if I understand Dr. Ford to be saying, he wants to know about the ticket situation for the finals?
Yes, he said tickets have not become available.
Right. The thing is, one of the things that was happening in the tournament is that the organizers usually block tickets for sponsors and partners, etc. And it's only when you come closer to the tournament, the end of the tournament, or to the game that you're talking about, that those tickets are released. And those tickets have now finally released in some areas of the stadium. Mm. And it's not necessarily only one area, but for example, when you talk about, let me say people were talking about Kensington having a capacity of 18,000. It never had a capacity of 18,000 for these games because, I'll give an example, the new hospitality area that's between the scoreboard and the media center, that was originally outfitted to hold 2,000 people. But when you put in all the seats and the catering and everything, that was cut in half. So you only had space for 1,000, so you immediately lost 1,000 seats. Then there are about 200 kill seats. That are just about 220 kill seats in Kensington over behind the bowler's arm, behind the side screen. Those things disappear. You can have them maybe for a concert or a football match or something, but you certainly can't have them for cricket. And then there are kill seats all over the stadium that compromise line of sight. For example, if you're sitting, I don't want to single out where stand it is, but if you're sitting in one of the stands and you turn to either your east or your west, sorry, your north or your south, you can't see if the ball goes down to the boundary. So people kind of don't utilize those seats because you really can't see certain aspects of the ground. There are not many of them. So those seats are taken out. And then there are other kill seats for security purposes. There are other kill seats as well for in the aisles, like for the disabled community, that kind of thing. You want them to be in the aisles. So those seats are seats that you don't, that are not really sold to anyone. So when you look at it, the capacity has been then reduced from that 18,000 to about 16,000 plus 16,000 225, I think it is. And then the ICC block, and the ICC and its partners block another almost just over 1,000 seats for their partners and their sponsors. And then for every game, every team is offered 400 tickets. So that's 800 tickets in the stadium. So we down now to that all you got on sale were the 14,000 tickets. And for the match in the West Indies versus USA, the stadium was sold out. For the match Australia versus England, almost all, about 200 less than the entire, the 14,000 were sold. So those were the 2 days at Kensington Oval when the stadium was full.
Right.
But the ones that are going back in that Dr. Ford will be saying now are those that are coming back into the pool. Either people have reserved and not taken them, or the partners are not picking them up, so they go back in.
The next question is on the 2 days that the stadium was reasonably full, the traffic going through Bridgetown was quite sluggish. You know, if the final is subscribed to that extent, are there any other strategies to try to improve flow through the Bridgetown compared to Spring Garden Highway?
Yeah, one of the things that is happening for the finals is that most of the park and ride, where they drop you off on Prescott Boulevard, those buses are going to exit north through Central Purchasing and back up the Mighty Griner Highway on that end. So you shouldn't have a problem with that, because remember what was happening was that Central Purchasing was closed. So you had to keep on going north to come back, going south to come back north. That's not going to happen on that day. But the thing is, one of the reasons that there was so much congestion in Bridgetown was Broad Street was blocked. And Broad Street was blocked because every Saturday during the tournament, we mounted what was called the Broad Street Mall. The Broad Street Mall was mounted to be able to give small entrepreneurs, small business people an opportunity to take advantage of an excessive traffic, just foot traffic, obviously, and visitors being in Barbados. And from all indications, it went very well. It was very much celebrated. It's something that we're thinking about doing as a legacy of the World Cup, as a pop-up all over. You know, you do it one. Once we get it refined in Bridgetown, it's working. Even some of the Bridgetown merchants, the traditional merchants, were saying that it brought more people in. But because it closed at 6 o'clock, it went from 8 o'clock in the morning until 6 in the evening, what happened was that you couldn't get through Broad Street. So if you came out of the back here of Kensington Mall and you turned left and you went down Prescott Boulevard, and then you tried to get through down to Hink Street or wherever you try to, or you turned there by maybe the Barbados Police Service, if you tried to get down through town, you couldn't get through Broad Street. I know a lot of people would say, well, you don't want to go that way. What is that? What's the street? That is next to Woolworth. What is that? What that street is called? When you turn there left by.
I know what you mean.
Right. To get out there past the police, past in front of the police station, you go up. You couldn't. A lot of people. You had a bottleneck there, and the thing is because a lot of people would have gone straight down Broad Street and maybe gone to the south. They couldn't do that because of the Broad Street Mall being open. But the Broad Street Mall is going to close early on that day, on the finals day, so you should have a much better opportunity to get out of Bridgetown.
Okay. Lastly, I didn't read the full content, but some of the vendors didn't get the sales they expected within the ground, and you know, cricket lovers are gonna take a break during the interval between the innings change. They're gonna do it before and after, but we are wondering if maybe if there was more, there was a better ability to visualize the game with some screens in the areas with the vendors, if that would have helped them to increase sales.
Well, there are during the time. Well, Dr. Ford, there are a lot of monitors all over that stadium, and even in the vending area, I don't know why people said that, but let me tell you what. You know, the other thing is we had to take into account was this is T20 cricket, and it ends a lot faster. Mm-hmm. You think it will end? In other words, we said that some people said that the match with England and the USA was going to be over by 1 o'clock, and believe it or not, by 1 o'clock it was done and dusted,
mm-hmm.
and therefore a lot of people don't stick around. You know, this is not a 50-over match or test match where people are there trapped in inverted commas in the stadium for that length of time.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be a little bit of an underestimation about what could have happened, and the numbers were there. Certainly on the days like England, Australia, USA, West Indies, the vendors, I'm told, did relatively well.
Mm-hmm.
There was in the initial game. Oman and Namibia,
mm-hmm.
not so well. There were not many people in the stadium. You know, some of the other smaller matches,
okay.
or lesser matches with the lesser known teams, those ones we had a challenge with.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the vendors, all in all, and we're assessing the issue too. I mean, if they really came under pressure, we're also looking to see how best we can find a way to be able to, maybe. Compensate them in some way, but all that is in discussion.
Okay, I'm sure they like that. Final question to you, Noel, before you go. Do you expect a full house for the finals?
Well, the tickets are all sold out. Up to this evening, except for the ones that came back into the pool, the only tickets that were still available were a couple of tickets in the party stand. Apart from that, Kensington Oval there's a full house.
So, Doc, you can't go online and get any tickets then, based on what you're hearing. Doc?
Well, fortunately, I don't need to, but I do understand that some are available that have come back online. So, you know, I think anyone that wants it will have a chance.
There's still
some people who want to bring their kids.
Approximately how many tickets are available now, Noel?
I was told that there's...
Pardon me? Approximately tickets are available?
We're available in the party stand, but tickets are there. I'm going back out.
I'd come back so into circulation.
Yeah, come back into circulation, yeah.
I see. Well, Noel, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us, amazing guests. We hope to hear from you next week. You got a date, so don't be late.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right. Make a pause for business call. We're going to open the lines. And, of course, we want to get some reaction. Where do the West Indies go? Oh, what happened there, Ken? You're not paying attention, Ken.
good evening to you, Andrew. How do you do?
And to Philo.
Philo and Doc.
Hi, Ken. Good evening.
And, of course, they have to say good evening. I have to say good evening to Roland and George as well.
And you're Roland, not necessarily in that order. Let's pause for business calls. Mason and guests, Broughton Association. With the very good friends at ASAP, we work around the best shot of the day.
ASAP, white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASAP is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want. Yes, it is the best shot of the day. It's the best shot of the day.
All right, I know people are very keen to react. The lines are open. We're going to do this, of course, get some reaction to where the West Indies went wrong. And we also want to, a little bit later on the program, join Andy Thornhill. He has got a tribute. Of course, you know he would have worked very closely with the late, great Sam Wilkinson. Now, let me go first of all to George. George, the West Indies did not make it. Give me an assessment as to where the West Indies went wrong. We're not hearing you, George.
They were only productive in 10.3 overs out of 20 against South Africa. You can't expect to win a game with that type of productivity, right? Too many dot balls were allowed because it appears that our guys only practice to do big hitting.
Mm.
They were not prepared to work the ball around, get the ones and twos and threes and get the occasional boundaries and sixes. I don't know what they drank in Antigua. Mm. I don't know if they had some Cavalier Antigua rum or some or too much food because they came out with such a big rush. They continued to be airborne throughout the whole tournament. And it seemed like they were trying to be pilots, getting their pilot's license, just going flying all the time. I was not happy at all. My boy, Shea Hope, he should have played his way into the innings by waiting to see what the pitch is going to do. Wait for the bounce, wait for the pace. He was facing a guy who is 6 feet nine, bowling from about 10, 11 feet. And he was trying to hit him on the up without even getting a feel of the condition, a feel of the pitch.
Right.
And he got out easily. Well, the worst was Perrin. Perrin saw that Hope left, and he went with a big swipe after Makram. He never also assessed the situation to check to see if Makram is going to get a ball, bounce, and turn. He went for a big swipe, ball went up in the air, got caught. I would say Rutherford got a good delivery, but I thought he should have come in before the captain, because the captain struggles badly against leg spin. Andre Russell, he was unfortunately run out. I thought the single that he took was suicidal. It was unnecessary because he had another three overs where he could have blasted another 50.
Right.
I think if he had gone for the dive, he would have that extra extension and he would have made it maybe. Because that's what killed us. In terms of the bowling wasn't that bad, especially in the quarterfinal game. I think the rain saved South Africa, because when I saw South Africa bowling, I saw Mirage getting the ball to turn big, and Mirage is not a big turner of the ball.
Right.
When the rain came, it really neutralized Moti and Hussein. Chase came on a bit later. He was able to get more grip because he's a taller guy, and plus his fingers are bigger, so he can hold the ball better. Moti and Hussein have smaller fingers, and the ball will be just like a soap in their hands, and they won't get to put much rev on the ball to get it to spin and bounce. But after the rain, I believe that's where the skipper should have introduced McCoy. Just bring him back when these guys were out, they're not set as yet. And he should have brought McCoy back and then maybe use Alzari at the other end for an over or two. Then later on, he could bring in Chase and then bring in Moti. So all in all, I think that we brought our C game and we didn't deserve to win. Yeah, the C game.
Okay.
We were too predictable. We predictable in everything. Why it always has to be Hussein opening the batting?
Yeah.
Why the batting order has to always be the same? Don't you think that opposition is studying that?
Right.
That's true. A blueprint on all game, on all strategies, and they conquer us easily. So we have ourselves to blame. We beat ourselves. They didn't really beat us. We defeated ourselves. Those defeats were self-inflicted.
I agree. Phil, your assessment, why did the West Indies not make it to the semifinals? Phil.
Andrew, I thought that South Africa read the pitch conditions well. So West Indies were looking at weather. When Markham opened the ball in, Andrew, he realized that the ball with the pitch was turning and bouncing. He bowled four overs on the bounce. Check and see when last Aidan Markham bowled four overs straight. So he got his four overs out of the way to add pressure to West Indies, and he got the reward of Perrin. Rabada bowled the 18th over. And that is significant. We did not read the pitch conditions, and then we have this one style thing of looking to hit fours and sixes. And we know South Africa is a good fielding team. It is not the USA bowling that you can bully and bull rush and hit it all over the park and jump up and down. It is serious pace bowling. You can get good quality spinners and good fielders. So we had to come with a different batting approach, which did not work, and we found ourselves struggling. And I keep asking the question, I'm going to continue to ask it. We hire these people called bowling coaches and we don't hear from them. And I would like to know why Alzari Joseph has never been given the opportunity to open that new ball. There's something fundamentally wrong that guy is always angry. give the guy the new ball. He's the quickest. Give him the new ball and let him express himself for 2 overs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what he has. We need, if Al-Zarif Joseph is happy on our side, I think he's going to settle down a bowl and take wickets. We can't have him as vice captain in all three formats, undervalue his contribution as a fast bowler. He needs to be encouraged. But we keep hiring foreign bowling coaches who don't understand the West Indies fast bowling way.
Mm.
And we going with this thing of Russell opening the bowling. I don't think that Russell should be even touching the new ball. Russell was bowling in the middle over his hard lengths.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
We need to give the opportunity to young Al-Zarif to bowl that new ball. I think we're missing that. They're making a lot of fundamental errors. Another question to Andrew. When is our head coach going to get some qualifications?
Wow.
When is our head coach going to get qualifications? Has he been doing any stuff to get qualified for the next assignment or for this job that he has for another couple of years? Coach, you need to be smarter. We need to be smarter in our thinking. We're not smart enough. South Africa outsmartest.
I agree.
We won the game and we found ourselves picking up the pieces and not making the semifinals. We had a decent run, but you have to be critical in your thinking.
Mm.
We set one style of play that people study it and they beat us at it.
Yeah, predictability. You're right.
I wish the other 14 thought the best, but it was hurtful.
Mm.
You know what was hurtful to Andrew? Manny David rather traveled throughout the region with us icing and Gandem. And then they went to Sir Vivian Richards Stadium and met the great marks of Vivian Richards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was on social media. And Sir Vivian Richards told them, tonight is the night. And they should have taken that to heart. And somebody should have said, look, gentlemen, tonight is the night we are going to play out of our skins. And we did not say that we lost to South Africa. Congratulations to them. They've won 7 games on the bounce. But we need to look at where we error and go forward better.
Mm-hmm.
We'll understand. I think our captain as well, when he comes under pressure and he makes a lot of fundamental mistakes, he's not as calm as we think under pressure. And we think we don't move the bat. And he knows that he struggles against spin. Don't come. Don't be afraid or ashamed. Don't come. Send somebody who you think is skilled enough to do it. And you come and you think it is easier for you to come and score runs. You gotta be smart. There's no shame in a captain dropping down the order if you can't handle the type of bowling. Because he struggles against the slow bowling.
He does, yeah.
So I think that we missed the bowling. The thinking, and South Africa, they held on and gone to the semifinals. We can't fault South Africa. We've got to look at West Indies. We need to be more critical in our thinking and smarter when we play in T20 cricket.
I agree.
And that is simple. 52 dot balls, we always had this 52. We always had problems with dot balls. I want to hear how they're going to solve it. Are they going to make a run up mountains to get lighter and faster? What are they doing with these dot balls? Too many dot balls as well. That needs to be addressed. If not, we're going to have it 2025.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Looking for answers.
Yeah, very, very, very well there. Okay, Roland, what we're going to do, we're going to hear from you, and then we're going to, you know, because of this very special, I mean, the passing of Sam Wilkinson, it is quite appropriate to do one or two other tributes as well. So we can hear from Andy Thornhill after we hear from you. Where did we go wrong, Roland Butcher?
Andrew, I told you a couple of months where we went wrong. There was all this optimism in the Caribbean about the West Indies winning the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
But was based on what? I said there and then that my biggest problem was that West Indies had the players to win the World Cup. But because of the preparation that they would have had, that they would only have a puncher's chance. There would be no certainty about it. And I said that several months ago, and people thought I was playing down the West Indies team. But no, you must understand. If you have got 10 players in the IPL, 3 are playing regularly, 7 are sitting on the bench, those 10 players are in the 15 of your World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
No match practice. You really believe that you're going to come into a world tournament a few days after to take on the best of the world and be able to compete and beat them consistently over a tournament? That is impossible. And if you look at the performances of the players, particularly the ones who were sitting on the side, right? You will see how sporadic it was. And that is exactly what I expected. So the preparation, those guys staying in India on the bench, that harm West Indies. Those guys should have been in the Caribbean with the team, preparing as a unit, not coming as individual players a week before the tournament. That's what beat them. And, you know, if you understand preparation, you would realize that that was the problem. People will put it down to one game. We did this or we did that in one game. That may be true, but that's not the real reason. The real reason is that you were not prepared for a world tournament against the very best. And to be quite honest, a lot of the teams and a lot of the big teams were not prepared properly. The smaller teams who were prepared better. Nepal, it's Afghanistan, Oman, Scotland, all of those teams, USA, all those teams prepared properly in that they spent time as a unit preparing for the World Cup. Even the likes of India, England, the only good thing that England did was that the likes of Butler, Livingston, Bairstow, and all those guys left the IPL early to go back to prepare.
Right.
But their preparation wasn't great either because their preparation was in England, in English conditions. And the same thing with Pakistan. So this World Cup was a World Cup for the smaller teams really to show their teeth. And they did, simply because the bigger teams really took their finger off the pulse. And West Indies, I'm afraid, that is the real reason why they got knocked out of this World Cup, in that they were not prepared for this challenge.
Interesting. All right, Doc, just before we come to, we're going to do things. We're going to go to Andy Thornhill. After you do your presentation, we're going to open the lines. I know many people want to react. But as we told you earlier, Sam Wilkinson, the great journalist, passed earlier today. And I know that Andy Thornhill, who's also a fine journalist as well, knew Sam Wilkinson for a long time, and he will offer his tribute. Andy?
Hey, good evening, Andrew. You're hearing me loud and clear?
Loud and clear.
Okay, thank you very much. And, of course, up front, we want to offer condolences to Barry and the rest of his family, Judy, Samantha, and all of the other Wilkinson family. Of course, we became very, very close through Sam's connection. But I want to preface anything I will say now, and I'll try to make it as short as possible, because I know you have a lot of people who want to make an input into the T20 World Cup. And I want to preface that, Andrew, by saying that life is not promised. And I say that within the context that only 3 weeks ago, Sam and Barry came to support me.
Right.
When my mother was buried at the St. George Parish Church. And he looked almost, well, I would say as fit as a fiddle. To use an old cliche. 2 weeks after that, I spoke to Barry and he told me that Sam was in hospital. And then today, I heard Stetson Babb breaking the news that he had passed. So, you know, it's within that context, I use that statement that life is not promised. And I will obviously miss Sam. He was, to me, more than a commentator. I met him in within that respect as a sports journalist. But over the years, we became extremely close. He was one of my first mentors in terms of sports broadcasting. Because, you know, when I got into journalism, I came from a print background, having worked at The Nation. But my experience in terms of broadcasting was very, very limited. And Sam assisted me in those early years. And it's true that we became very, very, very good friends. And like most people, before I went to CBC, you know, I was one of those people who would be glued to Sam's presentation, 7 Up Sam, 7:30. Monday to Friday. I couldn't miss it. I felt guilty if I had missed one of the episodes. But within that context, Andrew, you know, when you hear people like yourself and others, people really don't appreciate your skill set. They hear you talk and say certain things, but they really do not appreciate your skill set. And I, you know, when I saw Sam Wilkinson in his element producing Sam on Sports, I was totally amazed. Because many a morning I went into the studio and there was Sam, fluent as usual, and you would believe he read from a script. No, sir. Not always. Sometimes he did and sometimes he didn't. But I'm saying when he didn't read from a script, it wasn't obvious. He had that unique ability to get over his points, make some points, criticism, and the great thing about Sam is that he had a view, and it had nothing to do with what Andrew Mason thought, Andy Thorhill, or whoever. He had a story, and he stuck to it, and I admired him for that. He didn't, well, I must say, he didn't care what other people thought about his view. He was going to make his view, and that was it. The other thing that became very close to my heart in terms of Sam was his work ethic, along with Wes Pereira. Because at that time, when he first went there, I had a stint also working the productions, which was adjacent to the sports department. And believe it or not, in my humble opinion, these guys had the experience and the knowledge that they could produce a sports program within maybe 15, 20, 30 minutes. But it wasn't so. These guys were very meticulous and very deliberate in what they were doing. These guys would get all of the possible sources that they can get the news from to produce the best 15-minute sports cast. And that has stuck with me for the rest of my career, even now, because work ethic is essential. I also have to say that Sam and Red revolutionized sports reporting on radio, because what they were able to do, they were able to get people who were actually involved in the various sports to start doing reports on them. And I thought that was a smart move, because obviously they could not cover all of the ground. And they got people like Ken Moore, Bino, the late Vincent Burke would do dominoes. Ken Moore, of course, did volleyball. Kenny Burke soon came on stream doing hockey, etc., etc. And I thought that was brilliant. But overall, to me, Sam was the epitome of what a sports broadcaster should be. He had all of the qualities. Of course, the language, we talk about the voice. And again, I stick on the point that he was himself. He knew who he was. When he made a statement, it didn't matter what Andy Thornhill thought. He had a view. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of people you find out in the media have a view. You know, they have to look over their shoulders. Not Sam Wilkinson. I remember we did football at the stadium. And most of the times, when they had a big match at the stadium, Sam would preview it. And when he went to the stadium, people would say, man, Sam, I can shut up your mouth tonight. Mm-hmm. And he loved that. He loved that. So Sam Wilkinson, very, very outstanding. I will miss him, like I said, not only as a sports broadcaster, not only my first mentor in terms of improving my own skills as a journalist, but as a friend, and I almost said as a father. Mm-hmm. May he rest in peace and rise in glory.
Well, Andy, I want to thank you very much indeed. I know you're very close to Sam, and when I reached out to you today, you had absolutely no hesitation in doing the tribute. Thanks, and have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Now, we're going to go to Dr. Ford. We're going to do a commercial break. When we come back after Dr. Ford, we're going to open the lines, Mason and guests, brought in association with our very good friends at ASA Field White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASA Field White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ASA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Fellow, this is for you. I can confirm that what you said earlier, yes, in fact, Kemar Roach injured and will be replaced. So you're right, will
yeah,
be
I'm
replaced.
Sure.
In fact, I'm getting information from the director of cricket. I asked, so will he be replaced? The answer is yes. And I'm also getting a report. Actually, what you said is correct. So no Kemar Roach. And of course, you heard it from Philo Wallace and Mason and guests. Philo, you broke a story.
Hey.
Philo, you broke a story.
Not really break. It's not really a Andrew, yes, it's a story, but these things have to be known. But I think this squad arrived in the UK on Sunday. There isn't one word in the Caribbean about the squad in England preparing. All you're seeing is snippets of it on social media.
Right.
Not everybody is accustomed to social media. Then the release is out so the people will know. You want people to embrace West Indies cricket, but you don't want them to know about West Indies cricket. And the players. It is sad. a team, India selected a team to go to Zimbabwe, and everybody knows what the squad is like, right. what the squad is, or who's coaching the squad. There's no secrets to it, and who's going to join the squad after the World Cup. Just let the public know what is happening with our cricketers so that they can gravitate towards them. It is a serious story in England, and we need to make sure that we get a lot of support so these guys can feel comfortable in England. It's starting to get warm again. Feel comfortable in England. So when they do turn up on that test match at Lords, they know that they can do well. Without support, Andrew, you don't feel you can get the job done. And it's CWI's duty to make sure that that squad gets support here in the UK.
I agree. In fact,
and Roach, remember Roach said that the first test match is a final one for James Anderson, and they should spoil it.
So
though he's not going to be there to see it come through.
Well, in fact, Jamal Slocum.
So you got to be careful.
Yeah, I just sent him a note as well. He's saying no confirmation as yet. I can update you tomorrow, but we've already updated that in truth and in fact.
Tomorrow never comes, Andrew. Tomorrow never comes. It's just another day.
All right.
Hey, Andrew, who is the director of communications on CWI? Who is the person who is supposed to be responsible for public relations?
Well,
do we have the wrong person in the job or what?
Well, in fact, that department is almost depleted, really, because, as you know, Darryl Bartlett, he left, although he's back doing some work. Nasira Mohammed, she also left as well. And as far as I know, Jamal Slocum from Barbados is the man who is supposed to be responsible, Jamal Slocum.
Is that his only job, or he's got another job that's keep him so occupied that he doesn't know what's going on?
I'm not sure.
But that's something simple.
No, I'm not sure. I think he's a Clipsonian as well, isn't he? Dr. Ford, you know him well. You know Jamal.
I
can go back to the substantive issue regarding how West Indies did. I'm not disappointed with the performance of the West Indies. I think that being rated fourth in T20 cricket was an inflated rating. So I didn't expect us to make it to the final four. Looking at why things may have gone wrong, I think most of us had picked 13 players and we agonized over the last two. And I think that the fact that Mears came in for King and Hetmyer never played tells us that the Hetmyer selection was erroneous, and what happened in the long run bore that out. Also, as I said, I wouldn't have subjected Shamar Joseph to this sort of cricket, to be demoralized, and Holder being injured and McCoy being the replacement and McCoy playing and Shamar not playing also said that, you know, maybe the 15 wasn't what it should have been in those two extra places. But be that as it may, I still didn't expect us to do it. When you look at it, only two of our batsmen made the top 10. That's, our former captain. And he's the only person that made the top 10 in batting. And in the bowling, we only had two bowlers in the top 10. We had to make lots of runs to win matches, and our batting failed, especially in that pivotal match with five of the top seven not being able to get a start. I think all we would have needed was two 20s from two of our top seven, and we would have had the score that we wanted. But we also have to understand that the inflexibility of the bowling approach that we mentioned before with Hussein bowling three overs, because I maintain Hussein can't be bowled anywhere else. He can't be bowled in the middle overs. I think a surprise ball being an arm ball is not what cricket at this level is about, if that's supposed to be very effective. And every team that does well in this format, almost every team has a wrist spinner, and we have failed to develop a wrist spinner, and we just have two left armers of different pace and variation. And this was one time where Moti didn't come off, and I think the captain should have brought him back at some stage. But once we didn't make enough runs, we couldn't have made it to this semi-final, and but still the guys did creditably well. I think that match against the USA was our best match. We were busy in the middle overs. We had a target we wanted to get to, and Hope played a blinder, and we played good cricket that day. So you know, there are lots of good points to look at. But, you know, I think the guys still hold their heads high. But I won't fool myself to think that that we, you know, we aren't where we're supposed to be.
All right, let's get some calls.
Go back to North Dakota. You see, West Indies, hello, West Indies makes a trick when we played against Afghanistan. It's in Lucha, which is the fastest and the best pitch in the region. I believe that Shamar Joseph should have played there along with McCoy and Rex Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Afghanistan beat us or we beat them, we were already through to the Super 8s. So we should have given Joseph a run out along with McCoy and look at those players for down the road. But because we gave McCoy the player and he picked up some wickets against Afghanistan, they had no choice but to pick him when Shepherd went for all those runs against England. So we missed the plot. Strategic thinking is what is lacking.
You're right. Okay.
That is the problem. You're not strategic. You're not thinking about the form of cricket. Even the cricket camp is so difficult.
You're right. Okay, Phil.
But South Africa winning 7 games on a trot.
Let's try and sneak a couple of calls in.
It can be difficult.
Hello, welcome, Mason and Guess. Hello, welcome.
Yeah, Andrew Roll this way.
Hello, Roll.
Good Roll this way.
How are you doing, Roll?
I'm a very sad man at the passing of my friend Sam Wilkinson.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to Sam a couple of days ago, you know.
Okay.
I spoke to Sam and he was fine. He told me a lot of things. He mentioned he used to play for Spartan, but when he went to Central, there was so much love and camaraderie at Central that he really enjoyed his years playing in St. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
But Andrew must also mention this that hasn't been mentioned. Sam Wilkinson was a key player and organizer of table tennis.
Yes. Very true.
The Ricks. And he and a man called Morris did a lot for table tennis among the city youth. When Morris was sick, Sam, in his sense of humanity, went to the hospital to see Mr. Morris every day. In those days, my duties required me to go and look for my people too. In addition, as an Anglican, Sam Wilkinson organized a trip to Barbados by the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Ooh.
And the service was held at the Christchurch Parish Church, and Sam Wilkinson did the commentary.
Ooh, interesting.
Talk about a man being fluent. Mm-hmm. Like he worked in my department. I always can confirm that Helen Nichols told me that Sam Wilkinson, through his communication skills, was well qualified to work at Harrison's Cave. Sam Wilkinson worked at Harrison's Cave and did a brilliant job as a communicator. This man was multi-skilled and multi-talented. I don't want to be sure. I might write something about him that will write the pages, right? I'll conclude by this. You like sports, and I follow you, and you're always right when it comes to the silly tactics, team players, and top balls, and things like that. I want to ask a question. What ever became of Sirdane Halley?
Well, he's not been selected. I mean, I thought that he would have been one of our key players, certainly in this World Cup, but he's gone off the boil a bit. But, I mean, a very, very good fielder, dangerous lower of the bat, someone and a decent left-arm spinner, but very brilliant in the field.
I want to conclude, Andrew, maybe we'll talk off here sometimes. I want to conclude by of course, giving my sympathy and his family, but I also want to praise the quality of the radio broadcast in this World Cup. I'm an old-fashioned Barbarian that came up in the era of diffusion and radio Barbarian. I'm not kidding, man, you know. You all did brilliantly with the radio broadcast. Congratulations.
Well,
when this World Cup is over, I will call you personally and you're going to chat for hours. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you for that because it's not been easy, you know, doing a game at 10:30, getting some rest, and Roland Butcher will tell you, and certainly going back to do it at 8:30, you know, sometimes your voice, you really need to rest your voice. And I'm so happy that I'm able to rest the voice. But I agree with you. We picked a good team, Henry Wallace and Roland Butcher very much. Jamal Smith is absolutely brilliant. You know, and you got Barry Wilkinson in there, and you got Philip Hackett, some of the locals. We also had an opportunity for Woody Richards, and of course, tomorrow we're going to be having Lyndon Yard. So I agree with you. I think as executive producer, I was quite happy with the product.
And I conclude by saying that before you all actually came on here, you all would have had to do a lot of preparation.
Yes.
Before you all came on here. A lot of preparation. Right. Lot of. So right. Hats off to you all. I'm God bless. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. Let's take a couple of calls. Hello, welcome, Mason and Guest.
Hi, good evening, Andrew.
Good evening to you, Andrew, Randolph. Yes, talk to us.
I'd be remiss of me if I didn't call in to say, give my sympathy to Barry and his family. And I wish him, at this point in time, he and his family, God's blessing at this point in time. I think that Sam was a wonderful sports broadcaster and the type of guy that encouraged you to listen to him. And I can understand why Barry is the type of person he is when it comes to mm-hmm. commentary and sports and that type of thing. Andrew, I must say, give you some kudos for the cut and drive broadcast team. I think they have done a wonderful job so far up to now, because it isn't finished as yet. Also, the fee you had three guys from the Home of Champions who assisted you tremendously.
Yes.
But I must make special mention, he wouldn't be from the Home of Champions, but Henderson Wallace.
Brilliant.
I thought he was a fantastic analyst. He was a guy that did not have to wait on the third empire
right.
to determine if the person was out or not. He was always bang and spot on. And to me, he's one of these highly rated guys now that he can sit at large among those top analysts, cricket or in Australia. He's very, very, very good, and I would hope he would get a break to do some commentary analyzing the game in England or in Australia. He's a real good find. I know we would have heard him a little time at a certain game, but he's very knowledgeable about the game.
Knows the game very well. No doubt about that.
He's also well prepared.
Right.
When he come on the show. Now, Andrew, you would realize that you have three persons in the semifinals who have not won the championship lately or so far, I think. So it would seem very much that one of these teams are going to pull off an upset. And I am saying that if, for argument's sake, that Afghanistan should win the World T20, I am sure life in Afghanistan will change and they will come to be a very this sporting win that Afghanistan would create within the world. Mm-hmm. It would make all of the things that are going, what we would perceive to be wrong, right, and people would have an enjoyable life. Those fellas would switch from what they are doing to frighten people and make life very easy and enjoyable for the persons who live there. So, Andrew, we are looking forward. I'm not going to predict who we're going to go through, but my main person I back three people in the World Cup, which would have been the West Indies, England, and Australia. But you realize the West Indian and Australia is out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for England to be. And it's about fear that you also at the end, that guy, I don't know if the English guy that worked with you, I might pronounce his name
wrong. Don Topley. Brilliant.
He's a magnificent analyst. Brilliant. And commentator to the cricket game. I enjoyed him immensely, Andrew.
No, you're right. I feel very good about the commentary. In fact, one of the things that Barry said to me, even before we even looked at the commentary, he said, Andrew, it is important that we pick a top-class commentary team. I remember that very, very well.
Right,
that carefully selected. And I'll say this to you. We've got some of the best commentators in the world, but we do not get the kind of promotion. We don't get the kind of opportunities. We do the basics. I mean, Henry Wallace is brilliant. You got
brilliant youngster.
You got Jamal Smith, you got Roland Butcher. These guys are good.
Jamal is something else.
Yeah. yeah, tremendous. All right, thanks for your contribution.
Thanks, Andrew, and look forward to the continuous commentary with the next three games.
All right.
Good night, gentlemen.
All right. Just getting the word. Desi's contract will expire on the 30th June. No decisions until after the board meeting. I was trying to specifically get some of Johnny Grave. He said he just arrived in Trinidad. But word on the streets is that Desi could be in some trouble. Let's take a call. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests. Hello?
Hello, good night, Mr. Mason.
Hey, how is our 11-year-old? Did you meet the Prime Minister?
Yes, please. And the first thing I want to talk about, I really want to thank Madam Prime Minister for the experience that to give me that ticket to her work buffet that me and my dad could enjoy. I really enjoyed myself.
Oh, this is not wonderful. Wonderful. So you got an opportunity to go to cricket. Compliments to the Prime Minister.
Yes, Lee. And now my second point. I really want to send out my condolences for me and my family to Mr. Barry Wilkinson on the passing of his dad, to him and his family.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it's really a pleasure. I'm going to try and arrange a meeting with yourself and Roland Butcher and Dr. Ford. Do you want to meet Dr. Ford and Roland Butcher?
Yes, please, sir.
And what about
like that.
And what about Philo Wallace?
I really like that as well, sir.
All right. Now, before you go, where did the West Indies go wrong?
Pardon me?
Where did the West Indies go wrong in your view?
In my view, first of all, sir, they should have scored more runs. Because especially how Aqib Hussain ran out Russell's hand like that.
And
if Russell was still there, I felt we would have scored a commendable total.
Right. Mm-hmm. I see. I agree with that assessment. So are you very upset that the West Indies are out?
I'm not really that upset with them, but I'm disappointed, I'm still proud of them. They've improved.
Right. You have to be proud of them, yes. So cricket is your number one sport, isn't it?
Yes, please, sir.
All right. Just before you go, though, you did the exam recently, I'm told. You go to St. Paul's Primary?
Yes, please.
Right. Okay. How did you do in the exam?
I'm not going to be attending the Waterford Institution on September, sir.
Oh, but that's amazing because you did, in fact, say to me that you wanted to go to Combermere. So tell us about your marks. How much did you get in English?
I got 78.
In English?
Yes, please.
And what did you get in maths?
82.
Good. Wonderful. And in composition?
B.
Good. All right. So you got enough to get to Combermere. I'm so glad for you. And I wish you well. And once again, say hello to the Prime Minister.
Hi, Madam Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope she visits you. Is it Spooner's Hill you live?
Yes, please.
All right. Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much for being a very special guest on Mason and Guests.
Yes, please. And Mr. Mason, one more thing before I go.
Yes.
I really want to thank my dad for instilling me a lot of the cricket experience and everything to help me to get to Combermere.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. And I really want to thank you for coming on the show. It's an absolute pleasure. And we hope to hear from you again soon.
That's it. Bye-bye, sir.
All right, good. Well, time is almost up. We got, another minute or so. Look, we don't have any time, not even for another call. All right. Gentlemen, time goes very, very quickly in the show. We have to do a part two. I certainly would want to ensure that we continue this discussion next week. Of course, by then, we will know who the champion is. Of course, tomorrow, the action continues. It's going to be a situation where Afghanistan will play against South Africa at 8:30 Eastern Caribbean time. And then on Thursday, it's India versus England. That's going to be in Guyana. That's a 10:30 a.m. game. And then, of course, the grand final at Kensington Oval on June the 29th. That game is slated for 10:30 in the morning. We hope that you enjoyed our program half as much as we enjoy presenting you. Thanks to all the people who participated in the show. Andrew Mason is open for about tomorrow. Yes, good night.